welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, again, good morning. Welcome. We're going to go ahead and get started here in a passage, actually in the Old Testament. And this is a story about Elijah. Actually, it's kind of the follow-on story of what happened after Elijah had had his big confrontation. I don't know if you remember with the 450 prophets of Baal. He kind of had a showdown with them, and he said, okay, we're going to see whose God is really God. Well, first what he did is he talked to his own people, and he said, how long are you going to be halt between two opinions? If God is God, serve him. You know, it's really kind of a really challenge to the people of Israel. Then he had a showdown with the Baal prophets, and he said, okay, let's find out whose God is God. And so they had the contest where they had the wood and kind of create that altar, and then we're going to see whose God is God, and he'll answer by fire and light that up. And so the prophets of Baal set up their altar and their wood and everything like that. Nothing happened, and they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And of course, Elijah loves to chide him a little bit and tease him, and you know, ask, you know, what's going on with your God? You know, maybe he's busy, but nothing ever happened, of course, because he's not God. And then Elijah makes his altar and his wood, and then he creates a little moat around it and pours water all over it. He just wants to make it as hard as possible for this to happen. And of course, God answers by fire. The fire comes down, it consumes the offering, dries up the water, and it is just game over. And ultimately, those 450 prophets are killed as a result of it. They're purged from that influence of Israel. And so then this is kind of the follow-up story to that. When Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah, may the gods strike me and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you, just as you killed them. So she's going after Elijah. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who've already died. A voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said to him, go and return your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. And so what we have here is a situation where Elijah comes through this great triumph. It's very dramatic. It is very public and very supernatural. I mean, this is the glory of victory. You know, I remember if you ever saw the old Olympic commercial from the glory of victory to the agony of defeat, and they'd have that guy on the ski slope flopping all over. I don't know if you remember. But this was kind of like that in Elijah. He's going from the glory of victory to the agony of defeat here in a very small period of time. In fact, when he has this, the voice that came to him, the Lord kind of took him out and showed him some things, like an earthquake and a fire. And then there was a still, small voice. And God was in this still, small voice. And that's the voice that had come to him. But we see this dramatic shift in how we as human beings can be vulnerable to a letdown after some glorious big thing has happened. I mean, could you imagine being there with Elijah and seeing this play out? I mean, it's the ultimate showdown of God answering by fire from the skies and from the heavens. And you would think that he would just be on cloud nine. But when one person threatened to take his life, He was on the run, and he was afraid, and he was feeling sorry for himself. I'm the only one who really loves you. I'm really the only one who cares. And ready to take his own life, he's just done. Isn't it amazing how we as human beings can go from such a high to a low, to that depression, to that, you know, that situation? And we can see it here in the story of Elijah, but it's interesting to see how this dynamic plays out in our lives, in society. These are just a few stats. Up to 70% of new mothers experience some form of baby blues after their child is born. I mean, you got this buildup, you know, the excitement of we're pregnant to, you know, 9 months of buildup and stages and phases, and then it's over. You have the baby, you have the child, but there is such a buildup going into it, and then, you know, there's this drop. There's this, it can be a drop emotionally, mentally. I've talked to people who, actors, directors, who will invest weeks, months into a play, going into a role, learning lines, and then leading all the way up to the performance and the joy and the thrill of being able to communicate that and have that excitement, you know, and then after the final performance, after the final curtain is called, you know, I've had some of them say, you can really deal with depression after that. It's like you got this high, this big, this crescendo, and then it's done. It's over. This thing you've invested so much into, emotionally processing from the highs to the lows. Elijah, certainly, we kind of see it in different forms. A lot of times, even this time of year when we're watching sports and these great games, football games, whatever, if you'll see a team winning a really dramatic, close game that was just spectacular, you'll hear a coach say many times, the hardest thing to do is to get that team up for the next week. Because as glorious as it is, it's also emotionally draining. And to kind of get back up. And so we can experience, you know, a lot of these things. And so when you think about even our Christmas season, you know, it gets kicked off pretty strong right after Thanksgiving. That gives us 4 weeks. It gives us 4 full weeks to, you know, do our Christmas shopping, make travel plans, decorate the house, have Christmas parties, and, you know, we crescendo into that big day. And it's great, and it's awesome, and it's wonderful, and it's nothing better than just glorifying and remembering the birth of the Lord Jesus. But then as we're emotionally get to that point, then a lot of times we're turning that corner now into a new year, to a whole new year. And, you know, January can be a tough month for a lot of people because you're kind of coming off something, you know, to be able to do it. And so you can experience, a lot of times, we can experience that same dynamic right after Christmas. Here's a kind of a humorous little poem called The Day After Christmas. 'Twas the day after Christmas, and all through the house, every creature was hurting, even the mouse. The toys were all broken, their batteries dead. Santa passed out with some ice on his head. Wrapping and ribbons just covered the floor, while upstairs the family continued to snore. And I, in my T-shirt, new Reeboks and jeans, went into the kitchen and started to clean. When out on the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the sink to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the curtains and threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eye should appear but a little white truck in an oversized mirror. The driver was smiling, so lively and grand. The patch on his jacket said, U.S. Postman. With a handful of bills, he grinned like a fox, then quickly stuffed them into our mailbox. Bill after bill after bill, they still came. Whistling and shouting, he called them by name. Now Dillard's, now Broadway's, now Penny's, now Sears. Here's Robinson's, Levitt's, and Target's, and Mervyn's. To the top of your limit, every store, every mall. Now charge away, charge away, charge away all. He whooped and he whistled as he finished his work. He filled up the box and then turned with a jerk. He sprang to his truck and drove down the road, driving much faster now with just half a load. Then I heard him exclaim with great holiday cheer, enjoy what you bought, you'll be paying all year. Oh, so this morning we're going to minister on the day after Christmas, all right? You know, it is interesting. You know, again, just we as human beings. You see Elijah. I mean, great man of God, the ultimate glorious showdown. You know, and I don't know, how do you top that? And he gets one little accusation, one little thing, and all of he's downward spiraling. All right. And again, there's different dynamics day after Christmas stuff. That's kind of a financial side of it, but there can be things that we need to just be aware of. Just be aware of, because, you know, the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. And one of the great things to do is to just be aware of what you're going through and to not misinterpret stuff. You might be feeling a certain way. It can be easy to get critical of people and all of a sudden be doing it. Say, you know what? Hey, I've just come through something pretty exciting and pretty joyful. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, emotionally, it's hard to keep crescendoing. At some point, I'm going to, you know, come down and I'm going to process and, you know, go on. But this morning, I want to just look at, I'm calling it the day after Christmas. I really want to kind of talk about just coming through, you know, these highs and really being able to carry on and go forward and go on from the next thing. Because we're not supposed to go from glory to depression. We're supposed to go from glory to glory to glory. And so there's a way to navigate this. We don't have to be depressed. We don't have to be down. We don't have to go through this. I remember just the Lord dealing with me that even earlier this month. Just, this is a different kind of Christmas. We're not going to just get happy, sad. We're going to enjoy the season, and we're going to continue. There's going to be a follow-through to this season, a follow-through of joy and different things. So what I want to do, again, this morning is just kind of what I'm calling the day after Christmas, kind of how to navigate the season and how to avoid that letdown, but being able to go forward in the glory of what God has already begun to do in your heart. And as we go forward, you're going to see some similarities with Christmas itself, because there's things we do at Christmas almost accidentally that's a big reason for why we enjoy the season so much. And so as we're talking about the day after Christmas, I want to just show some admonitions here. Keep a hopeful heart. Keep a hopeful heart. And it was interesting, a lot of just the word that we had this morning after worship was right along these lines of keeping a hopeful heart. The scripture in Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." Amplified, "Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." As you're enjoying life and as you're going through stuff, and there is an admonition here, which I just love, arise. I remember just even waking up. Sometimes when you just eat a bunch of food that you're not used to eating, all right? You're kind of going to the whole sugar thing and just on new levels. And of course, you don't want to offend anybody, so you gotta do what you gotta do. But you wake up and it's like, wow, it's like this is, you know, it's different. But there can also be, you're waking up to the cool, fun stuff has happened. Maybe the family that you've been looking forward to, they've left, they've gone home, and now, you know, so it's that different, that kind of change. But you realize there's a decision right here. There's a decision to arise. There's an inflection point. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Christmas. Thank you for the blessing of Christmas, all right? And it's not that I'm trying to, you know, one up and get emotionally higher. This has nothing to do with emotions. This is just about keeping my heart in that place of hope. Because what happens is after Thanksgiving, we get excited for Christmas. We have something that we're setting our heart on, something we're setting our mind on. We are in a wonderful way preoccupied with Christmas, getting ready for Christmas, the things that we're going to do. So we've got this great hope, this thing that is drawing near. I remember as a kid, we would have our little kind of a calendar type thing where you'd open up the little flap every day and it would be something underneath there as you're drawing near to Christmas. It might be foretelling the story, Advent candles, different things like that. There's this buildup. But the reason why we have that buildup is because we have our hearts set on something wonderful, that celebration of Jesus and all the things that surround that in the different ways that we're going to celebrate it. And the scripture that I'd had is just the one that really came out this morning, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And, you know, the Holy Spirit kind of preached this point already, all right? In the message of just the tongues and interpretation of tongues and the prophecy, it was really this heart right here where God is saying, I got something for you. I got a new next thing for you to do. I got something. In the same way you could fix your gaze on Christmas, now get ready to fix your gaze on something else. I've got something. I got another assignment. You see that he's good works. It's plural. I'm not done with those good works. I've done some of them. You've done some of them. But there's more good works out ahead of you. There's more good things that he has for you to do. A life that is rich with good works. Things, different ways that he's going to use you to touch this world, to influence people. It's an exciting life. And when we look at this and we get to this inflection point, you might be saying, well, what is that? What is that new thing? What is that next thing? And this is where we can just be, you know, a couple things. We can pray about that. Lord, show me what that is. You know, sometimes he's just waiting for us to ask. Okay, Lord, show me what you have for me. You know, instead of trying to, you know, figure out what the new year is going to behold, just say, Lord, what do you have? What do you want to show me? You know, make that clear. You know, a lot of times what he'll do too is he works in you to will and to do. There's desires that he puts in your heart. There's desires that he might stir up again that you hadn't been thinking about. It could be a desire to write. It could be a desire to do something for somebody. It could be a desire to, look into the Word of God in different ways that you haven't before. It could be a desire to reach out and share your faith and take another step, you know, toward evangelism, different things like that where you felt stirred in your heart and God is going to begin to work in you and begin to show you some different things. But the important thing in terms of avoiding that letdown is to realize that it's not over, okay? The Christmas season, you know, is winding down. But just because the Christmas season is winding down doesn't mean that I'm emotionally going to go down with it. I'm going to keep my heart open and say, okay, Lord, what's the next thing? What's the next thing that you have for me to look at? And I love the way the message puts this. It says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. So let's keep focused on that goal, those of us who want everything God has for us. So there does come this inflection point. Praise God, Christmas was great. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that season. But now I'm moving forward, Lord, to that next thing that you have for me. I want to see, I want to know, God, what that is. And so this is where I just want us to realize that, you know, and kind of going back to that word, he is the Ancient of Days. These are things that he's planned for us long ago. Your life is amazing. Your life is multifaceted. And the God who, you know, saw you ahead of time created this plan for your life. And even as that word that we had early before, sometimes it can feel like there's a renovation. Sometimes it can feel like there's a renewing. Sometimes, that's exactly what Jesus said would happen sometimes. He's going to prune you so that you can bear more fruit. Sometimes you're making these hard adjustments. You know, when God does things in your life, he doesn't tweet. You know, if it feels like, I just feel like God doesn't want me to, maybe consecration, I don't feel peace anymore about maybe watching certain things or doing certain things that I didn't have a problem with before. And it's not about being holier than thou. I mean, it's not about that at all. When God makes you righteous, you can't be any more righteous than you are right now, the day you got saved. But when God begins to do a work in your heart, he's preparing you for good works. And a lot of times what that stuff has to do with, it has to do with getting that part of your heart more open and more focused on what God wants you to do. And it gives you ears to hear. It gives you an awareness of those things that he's calling you to walk in. So sometimes, I know this time of year, we got the New Year's resolutions, and there's some good principles there of things that we can lay aside and do things. But this is a time where we ask God, Lord, what is your, you know, instead of me making a resolution, Lord, what do you want me to do? Is there something that I should lay aside? Is there something, because if he shows you something, there will be an anointing on that. There will be a grace on that. And so this is a great time to just be asking and seeking and saying, Lord, show me, what is that next thing? You know, and sometimes he'll show you what that is. Sometimes it'll be adjustment stuff. But either way, realize, know that a big part of keeping going on is having that same hope like that we had originally, looking forward to Christmas, looking out ahead, knowing there's another good work he's ordained me to walk in. Lord, what is that? Show me that. Lead and guide me to that. Not only that, but there's also another thing that we do in this Christmas season that we have permission to do, even culturally within our world, and that is having a giving spirit. You know, we realize that, part of Christmas is the gift exchange presents, and so we realize that, giving is part of the season. Of course, it started out John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The first Christmas gift ever given was Jesus Christ that was given to this world. That was the first ultimate act of giving that we see coming from the Heavenly Father to us. And then Jesus says here, and I've been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of our Lord Jesus. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So we know that there's a giving spirit that we have also in this Christmas season that we come through. We have permission to give. We have an opportunity to give. And there's just something about it. This time of year, when instead of thinking about what's wrong with that person to what am I going to get that person for Christmas, when there's a change in just that dynamic. I mean, sometimes we accidentally stumble into a spirit of joy and peace because we're doing things the way God intended them to do in a roundabout way. I like to say it this way, too. I find this dynamic also happens in new believers when somebody just comes to Christ. I've seen it so much, it's amazing, but a new believer can walk in the Spirit better many times than an older believer tries to do on purpose. Because that new believer, they're just like, oh, everything's just new and it's cool and I'm going to go to this service and this song. It's just like everything's new. And what are they doing? They don't even know the scripture about setting your mind on things above. They're just doing it because it is so new and wonderful and awesome and there's an awe and a wonder, you know, and praise God. And you just see this excitement and this joy and this soul winning and this, you know, hungering after the word of God and, you know, so there's this joy that they experience. But what are they doing? They're just setting their mind on things above. In the face of all life stuff, they're still doing it. And that's what we learn as believers, you know, because then you learn a little bit, you live a little bit, some things happen, you get a few why God questions, and then, oh, should I set my mind on things above? You know, and you can begin to doubt different things, and as you begin to grow, it's like, yes, I do need to set my mind on things above. Even though I've been walking with God for 20, 30, 40 years, I need to return to that first love and set my mind and unashamedly give my heart open to Jesus. You know, there's a growing and a maturing process through that. And as you're learning to have that giving spirit too, it's like, okay, Christmas is over. I got the gift. I don't have to go back to being critical again, all right? I can maintain a giving spirit. I can maintain a giving heart. It could be giving. It could be forgiving. Whatever it is, maintaining that giving spirit, that's what keeps our heart in that right place. It keeps that bitterness out of our heart. God puts it this way. He said, you must each decide, Paul writing to the Corinthians said, you must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. This is talking about that giving heart again, too. God loves a cheerful giver. We were talking about presenting our gifts to the Lord a few weeks ago, things that just really bless the Lord. A cheerful giver blesses the Lord. Somebody who just gives without, you know, grudgingly, but just gives generously. That is something that impresses the Lord, blesses him. And so in terms of maintaining day after Christmas, just to maintain this giving spirit, this giving attitude. Okay, Lord, the Christmas over, the bell ringers aren't there anymore, or, you know, I don't have to give the gift, but keep that giving heart, keeping that giving spirit. Keeping that generous heart. Don't stop figuring ways to just be generous, randomly generous. Those are things that cultivate that giving spirit of Christmas that doesn't have to come to a stop. Again, just because the lights come down or we're moving on to a new season. And I want to say something about this, especially as it relates to our walk with the Lord. This is a story of Jesus as he was going to a house to eat or just to hang out. Jesus and his disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem. They came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now again, this is in the spirit of giving, all right? We can think about, I'm going to be generous to people. I'm going to keep that, my heart outward and generous and kind. But I also want to keep this as we think about our giving to God, all right? We kind of talked about different things that we can present to God, gifts that we can give to God and whatnot. Because a lot of times this time of the year, and I mean, I know this firsthand, we start getting our big spiritual consecrations. Okay, I'm going to read, you know, and God can put things on your heart to read the Bible through and different things like, I've had different things like that too, or to focus on a certain Bible book or certain studies and things like that. But before we run into some great big consecration spiritually, all right, that, you know, we can't hardly keep or, you know, maintain. Sometimes there's just not even enough hours in the day, just depending on how big of this thing you're going to promise God, you know, on January 1st. There is something you can give to God that will bless him. And this is something that you can give to God and make this part of your New Year's spiritual consecration resolution. And you can see it right here between Martha and Mary. You can see Martha's wanting to work hard. She's wanting to work hard. She's wanting to prepare dinner. You know, she's really, you know, I think that's noble. That's a good thing to want to do that, to prepare that. But, of course, she's dealing with somebody who can feed 5,000 people with a few loaves and a few fish. So they're not going to go hungry if Martha, you know, necessarily. So, you know, Mary saw something, though. She was sitting at his feet. The thing that Mary gave Jesus was her undivided attention. That was the gift that Mary gave Jesus. She sat there and gave him her undivided attention. She had a lot of things that she could have gotten, got up and got engaged in and had a good, legitimate, but she had time, and Jesus saw that and he protected that. That was beautiful. When it comes to our spiritual side of giving heart, what am I doing to serve the Lord? Giving to the Lord. We don't need necessarily to read volumes and volumes of scriptures. And again, there can be different seasons where the Lord can put different things in your heart. But something that cuts through all the seasons, that God always desires wherever, is that little bit of time of some undivided attention. I've had that. I've been checked in my spirit, even in my devotion time. You know, you can be a Martha in your devotion time. You can. You can be busy and trying to get through, okay, and I'm going to get through that and, you know, get through that verse, and if I keep reading at this speed, I should get it done and be able to go on to the next thing. You can have a Martha attitude in the secret place. And this is where the Lord said, you know, Ed, this is what I just want. I just want some hangout, secret place time where I just have your attention. And what does that mean? It means that there's going to be times when you just need to have your, whether you have a pencil in hand or whether you have a recorder on your phone, or you're ready, you're listening. You're just listening. He speaks to us through his word, his written word, and he also speaks to us by his spirit. And he loves to speak to us by his word and by his spirit, but there's going to be times when he'll speak to you in the word, all right? And he'll speak something to you by his spirit as you're reading the word. You don't have to keep reading. You can stop. You can listen. You can write. You can pray. You can say, or you can come to a scripture and say, "What does that mean, Lord?" You know, you might even read a commentary, but that commentary doesn't satisfy you. Lord, show me. You know, whether you get that answer now or not, at least you've expressed your heart. There's a fellowship. There's a dialogue. There's a sitting at his feet. And sometimes I just use this as a check in my own secret place time. Am I a Martha right now, or am I a Mary? Am I listening? Am I giving him something? My attention. In my office, I like to say, I got two chairs. I got my work chair And then I got my devotional chair. And there's times I'm in my work chair and the Holy Spirit says, you need to get in that other chair. And I think, but I can get more done in this chair. You know? I mean, we're human beings. We got our routines, our schedule, our patterns, and it is just amazing how instinctive that is. And amazing how a step of faith is to get out of your routine. I mean, that's a huge step. It's what made Moses, Moses. He's going along. He's doing his sheep thing. He's doing his routine thing. And he sees something and he turns aside. He wasn't too busy to turn aside. And when he turned aside, then the Lord said, Moses. You know, I know that was God's plan, but I kind of thought almost hypothetically, how many people might have seen that and were too busy to turn aside? That could have been called. You know, different things. It's easy to get distracted. But when we're sitting at his feet and we're listening, we're hearing stuff, and you're getting something, wow, that's good, Lord. To be able to stop, go slow. I want to have a Mary devotion time, not a Martha devotion time. When you have that spirit of giving, what can I give to God? Mary found it, and it wouldn't be taken away from her. There is nothing that blesses the Lord like your undivided attention. All right. Praise God. I'm going to just hang out here, Lord. It's amazing the different decisions and direction and things that I've gotten in my heart. I remember one time just trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Where am I going to go? I was in this huge inflection point in life, decisions, options, and things like that. And I'm just sitting there with my T-charts of the pros and cons of everything that I could be doing, you know, in my head, trying to figure out which is the best. And I remember just stop and just being quiet before the Lord. And the Lord said, Ed, of all those options, which of those options keeps coming back to you the most? I thought, wow. And I knew what that option was. Well, it's this one, Lord, of the four or five. And all of us, but, you know, there's pros and cons. But when you get the word of the Lord and he shows you something, the cons, they're nothing to the Spirit of God. When you get in your head, you can lawyer a case for anything pretty much in your head. But when you're quiet and you're sitting at his feet and you just hear that spirit prompting, that's it. And it's just the wisdom of God. And that's why it's so precious. Jesus went through everything he went through so we could go right back here and have that garden, walking, talking, cool of the day stuff with God. There's a giving attitude, a giving toward our fellow man, or the body of Christ, our family, yes. Keep a generous spirit, but keep an open heart to God. Keep an open heart in giving him that gift of your undivided attention. It doesn't have to be long, you know, but if you can just kind of say, hey, I'm just going to have 5 minutes, 5 minutes. I'm going to go from this chair to this chair, and I'm not going to rush through a bunch of, I'm just going to take 5 minutes and wait in the presence of the Lord. And as you're waiting, sometimes you're prompted to pray. Listen, fellowship, just a little bit of that quality sitting at the feet of Jesus time. What does that do? That keeps us grounded, because when you try to emotionally manage stuff, yikes, that's tough. But when you get over in that place where you're just hearing from God and there's a spiritual strength and there's a joy and there's a peace, the emotional stuff begins to settle down. You're not living from your emotions. You begin to live from your spirit again. You'll live from that place of peace. And then finally, just as far as a follow-through to Christmas, the day after Christmas, yes, we keep hoping. There's more stuff. God has more things for us after Christmas, things he's ordained us to walk in. We keep that giving heart, that giving spirit, continuing to be generous. When you're generous to people and you're just generous, it pleases the Lord. God smiles. He loves. He doesn't even say he likes. God loves a cheerful giver. So when we're just kind, we're generous to people with our time, whether it's to the Lord or whether to the Lord himself. We're saying, okay, Lord, here I am. Nobody or anything has priority but you right now with my attention. There's power and blessing that we keep that sweet spirit of giving. And then finally, keep celebrating Jesus. All right? This is the story we reflect on, we read, we enjoy, we sang about. Then the angel said to them, don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you in this day, in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is our Christmas Eve celebration. This is where we absolutely give ourselves permission to celebrate and rejoice in the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, a lot of times, you'll even notice on your channels, your Christian music channels, there will be a lot of Christian music played this time of year. But then after Christmas, sometimes you don't really hear anything, or there's very little, or there's some. I'm glad we sang some Christmas songs this morning. Because one of the things that we need to do is we need to keep, we're celebrating what God did for us in Christ. We're celebrating this amazing gift. To keep celebrating Jesus. And here's, is it scriptural to still be celebrating the birth of Christ, you know, after Christmas? I mean, we know that technically, but I just want to show you, you have scriptural precedent, in case you were wondering. This was 8 days after, this would be our January 3rd. A man named Simeon was in the temple. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. He is the glory of your people, Israel." Look at that. Simeon took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, what was he doing? He was praising God for his salvation. His eyes had seen his salvation. I would just love to see the picture, if I could go back in time, of see Simeon holding baby Jesus and declaring this and speaking this over him. Again, this is after the fact. We get so conditioned a lot of times to celebrate the birth of Jesus between Thanksgiving and Christmas, you know, where we have permission to go there. But it's important to realize that that story is joyous. It's the Word of God. It's true. We can celebrate Jesus. We can celebrate the event of his birth. We can have an attitude of celebration of Christmas and what God has done. God is not throwing a flag in heaven. If you were to sing a Christmas song in February, or if you were to read Luke 2 in February, nope, you got to wait. You can read Luke 2 whenever you want to. You can celebrate it. You can think about it. You can be excited about it. You can be stirred up and remember the goodness of God. You're not relegated to a four-week period where it's legal to celebrate it. Yeah, the world kind of joins in their different ways and sideways. You know, it's kind of half Santa, half Jesus, but you know what I mean. It's kind of, you get permission to kind of go there in a way, but we got to realize as believers, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, and we can be stirred up in the joy of Christmas. We can be stirred up in that gift throughout the year. We don't have to stop celebrating that as believers. We can celebrate our salvation. We can, you know, if it works to turn on a Christmas song for you, you know, at some in June, you know, to worship God, you know, and that is, just realize this. We're not like, okay, I got my Christmas celebration fixed. I'm moving on to January and a whole new year. No, that same Jesus who was born for you, he's there for you. He loves you. I love the scripture in Romans that I think it really expounds it. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or are hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life nor angels nor demons nor our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow, we have such cause to keep celebrating Jesus. Why? So I love our, like I said, I mentioned a few weeks ago, we're blessed with a great praise and worship team. Not just because of their talents and abilities, which are awesome, but their hearts to get into that presence of the Lord. Like I said, with or without you, they're going in, you know? And you may as well just go on in with them, you know, because it's awesome. It's great to get. He seeks those who worship him in spirit and in truth. And there is just something about celebrating the love of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have a strong celebrating, worshiping church. We're celebrating. We're taking that love and we're not going on from it. We are continuing to lift it up in all of its different facets and forms. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. You have no rival. You have no equal. We're celebrating Jesus Christ, continuing that flow of celebration. Again, the Christmas season, it's songs, it's carols, it's music, it's celebration. To keep that celebratory heart, that attitude, even as we move on from Christmas. There's things we learned from Christmas that we can take from Christmas and continue to move on. Keep that hopeful heart. God has so many amazing things in store for you this year. It's not your job to figure out what they are. It's your job to ask and listen and hear what they are. Praise God for that. You know, he'll work in you to willing to do. He'll show you some things. But you can ask. That's what he wants us to do. That wisdom and revelation to know the hope of his calling. Paul's praying for him to get it. You can pray for it to get it too. I can pray for it. We can just be intentional and say, Lord, show us. What do you have for us this year? Praise God. Keeping a giving spirit, that outward heart, that compassion. Just continue to find opportunities, avenues to give. You know, we're just so blessed at Door of Life, this food pantry. I'm just so thankful for the ways God has used that food pantry to just spark such a generous, giving heart up and down this peninsula. I mean, especially our churches in Christ. I'm amazed at how God has used a little food pantry like this to connect us with our brothers and sisters in Christ who have just generously donated toward that food pantry. I'm continually blessed by that, and it's something that sparks to keep that giving heart, to keep that giving spirit toward people and then toward the Lord. You know, what does he want? What does the Lord really want? Number one, he just wants your attention. He just wants that to be sitting in that merry spot. And again, it doesn't have to be for a long time. It can just be for a little time. Say, okay, Lord, I just want to give you this time. If it's a few minutes, you know, you watch what the Holy Spirit does with that. But if you'll just by faith give him some undivided attention, he's going to show you some things. And then keep celebrating Jesus. Keep the festive spirit, the joy of Christmas, the thing that we can continue to celebrate, praise God as God continues to take us from glory to glory and show us those great things he has for us. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that the day after Christmas today, we don't have to let down. We don't have to be depressed or have blues or but that we can just keep going forward, Lord, in the spirit of the good things you've done for us this Christmas season, Father. And I just pray for each one here, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you will show them good works you've ordained them to walk in. Let's go ahead and make this confession of faith, if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I am your workmanship. You created me for good works that you ordained me to walk in from the beginning of the world. I pray now. I ask, show me the next thing, the next good work. I want to walk in it. I'm getting my hopes up, knowing you have something for me. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I want to reciprocate that love. I want to love people. Continue to show me how to give gifts. Gifts of time. Gifts of encouragement. I want a generous heart. The kind of heart you love. And I want to be generous, Lord, with my undivided attention. Help me to carve out that time where it's just me and you. I'm sitting at your feet, listening by faith for your Holy Spirit, sharing from my heart by faith, knowing you hear every word. Oh, thank you, Father God. I have life. And Heavenly Father, I rejoice in you. I celebrate your gift of Jesus Christ. I have opened that gift and I have found eternal life and eternal love. And I will continue to celebrate it all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, so be encouraged, I guess I just say this morning that, you know, we're moving on from Christmas. But we're moving on from Christmas in Christmas with that same spirit, that same heart, that same hope and generosity and festive celebration. Praise God. And I'm excited for this new year and what God's going to do, what God's going to show us. And I'm excited to put the ball in God's court to show me, to show us what he has for us. And whatever that is, maybe you want the whole big picture. He might just show you one thing. You don't have to make a bunch of consecrations if he only shows you one thing. Just do whatever he shows you to do. Whatever that thing is, whatever impression that you're getting in your heart, go there. That's going to be blessed. Praise God.